A Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Yasmin Yonkers, and Ryan Hwan. Replay from Money FM 89.3.
So far, the folks coming into our studio have been reflecting on this year. They've also been looking ahead to what's going to happen next year when it comes to customer experience, marketing, the real estate sector. Now, let's find out the latest in the tech sector. Let's talk tech.
Yeah, tech's one that changes so fast. You know, you think back to last year, everyone was all excited about cryptocurrency like Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It was worth like 20,000.
I could barely afford Bitcoin last year.
And now it's worth less than 4,000.
It's not so bad.
The volatility of it all. We've seen how the tech stocks have been affected on the Dow Jones in October.
Absolutely.
November as well.
Yeah, taking a battering there, yes.
But, you know, the man who's going to help remind us of all the changes the tech sector has seen this year and what exciting new advancing technology we can expect next year is longtime consumer tech journalist Michael Bancroft, producer and co-host of Beyond Innovation on Bloomberg. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
The show, of course, that you host and produce, it gives a rare insider's look at the change makers behind the world's most exciting emerging technology. So you are the best man to speak to about tech this morning.
Well, you have unique perspectives, don't you, into what will be trending next. So what are you hearing from global innovators and their technologies, Michael?
Well, that's the interesting thing. And we always hear about the Fortune 500 companies and Facebook and Apple. But what is really interesting is when they weren't the household names that we know of. And that's the point of the show. So what we're hearing is, as you said, we were hearing blockchain and cryptocurrency last year. What I think is going to be king moving into 2019 is data and then how to extract all of the useful information from data. Because if you think about it, 2.5 quintillion bytes of data is created every single day.
What is a quintillion?
It's a lot. Because I asked the same
thing
when it came across and we were doing the research, I was like, oh, I had never heard that number before. It's a lot. So if you take that, it's like, how are companies dealing with that and what are they doing with it? And that's where I believe artificial intelligence will be the most important part in 2019, giving companies a competitive edge in every industry. So think about all of that data, how they can extract, even look at Facebook with ads and simple things that we see from a consumer perspective. Imagine when companies work out how to use that, whether it's in retail, whether it's in real estate, whether it's in banking, to identify hackers trying to penetrate fintech companies and their accounts. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where we're going to see the biggest shift, the biggest technology developments in 2019.
Okay.
But wouldn't data being a big thing come with the concern over abuse of data and what we've seen with regard to hacking various websites? In fact, the various data, like for example, in Singapore, we had a bit of a medical data hack. How are companies dealing with this? And is confidence in this new wave of data coming up?
Yeah, I believe there is. And I think that it comes back to transparency as well. So you've got the security side of things. So it's all well and good to develop the abilities to extract the data and use it to try and be more efficient from a company's perspective. But then it is, as you're saying, you need that confidence. And I do believe that now companies understand that. And they're putting money not only in the R&D for the algorithms and using machine learning and even artificial general intelligence, which we spoke to a fantastic OpenAI, which is, of course, backed by Elon Musk. And so the idea around that is they're trying to do exactly what you're getting at. They're trying to ensure that it's used for good and making sure that it's transparent and making sure that, you know, we don't go off the rails and suddenly it's Armageddon like everybody thinks it's going to be, which I believe there's a happy balance. And technology can be for good. And all we see are the scary headlines. And so I think we need to kind of step back a little and think about how your lives are made easier every single day. Think of all the devices you use. Think of how much time you're saving to do the more important things with your family, business. Things are becoming so much easier because of technology advancements. And I think people forget about that.
Okay, we're getting insight from Michael Bancroft, who is a producer and co-host of a program called Beyond Innovation on Bloomberg. I have to say this word again, quintillions. Okay, quintillions when it comes to data. And you say that's a trend for next year, Michael. Tell us, is this just for, I don't know, the developing world or is it for the developed world? Because you know how the divide between rich and poor is really wide. side. So where is this data revolution going to be?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit scary because, again, people say that this is only going to make the divide even wider.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah, there are a lot of headlines and a lot of articles and a lot of research about that. So it's hard to say. I would hate to speculate, but I kind of am in the camp of, if we're not careful, that divide will get a little bit wider. It's very unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, we can look at this from our artificial intelligence and robotics and how that develops. You know, people are scared about losing their jobs and you know, factories are getting streamlined and all that kind of stuff. But if you step back, what I believe it is going to do is going to create new opportunities and new jobs. So yes, the mundane tasks and when you're on a factory line, an assembly line, that might remove those jobs. But what it now means is that there's an opportunity to get other areas. So people need to be trained in other areas. And so, you know, we need to look at more STEM education and we need to look at enhancing more abilities for, you know, female founders. And we need to train kids in STEM and we need to give them opportunities so we can have more data scientists and those kinds of things. So there's different job opportunities.
Job opportunities, people losing jobs. You can't mention tech without mentioning disruption. Looking into 2019, which sectors do you think will face the most disruption and how they could benefit from it?
Yeah, so I think that, again, we've seen autonomous vehicles were something that people kind of didn't think was going to happen. But, you know, that's, you know, not true. We've seen so many advancements. Even Singapore here, we're looking at smart cities. And Singapore is on track to be one of the leaders in smart cities and cities in the world and also connecting, you know, all of the technologies. And it's a 360 environment. And okay. So I think we're going to see those kinds of developments moving forward. And we're going to see people starting to understand how to connect all the different companies of all the different verticals together, because at the moment they're all working in silos. Okay. And so I think that's going to be a trend because people understand, even from an Internet of Things, they're kind of working on this big picture. And so we're going to start to see people focus on the smaller activities that kind of connect everybody together. And then we're going to see the different facets of how we work and live kind of starting to get a full connection from all of the different companies.
Michael, early on we were talking about the sectors that Asia would face disruption in. To take it one step further, we're looking into 2019. Which region around here do you see the biggest technological advancements in?
Yeah, I see China starting to come out as a leader, and I think that we're seeing that across all sectors where they're really starting to pour a lot of money into R&D. We're starting to see governments and accelerators and incubators starting to open up and be far more open and transparent in bringing in Western dollars. We're also seeing the Chinese government get behind R&D, and we've seen it even in Hong Kong with the Hong Kong Science and Technology Park. They've got billions of dollars pouring into the region and trying to attract not only, you know, within the region founders and these innovations, but also, again, trying to bring the rest of the world into the region as well. And that's what we were doing. We've been to Hong Kong twice. We're looking at coming to Singapore. There are so many founders. There are such a lot of technological advancements. We were talking to this fantastic founder in gene editing. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, it might be controversial, but if you think of what could happen if they get it correct and they're able to advance, you could cure diseases. There's all kinds of possibilities and applications. And I think that people need to not be scared about it. And, you know, research has to start somewhere. And I think, you know, China is really going to be one of those big leaders.
Interestingly, wow. In the past couple of days, there was that gene editor scientist who kind of got into trouble with Chinese government.
He didn't tell anybody what he was doing.
Is this the gentleman that you were speaking with, Michael?
No, he wasn't. But this is a very controversial area because it's an ethical, but also, yes, sure, he should have probably told somebody what he was doing. However, again, if you step back and you look at the advancement, if you look at what he says he was able to achieve, and you know the term like designer babies and stuff, but take that out of the equation.
Okay.
My understanding is he had a male and a female, one with HIV and one with not. And when they were able to use gene editing, which is CRISPR, the technology, to edit the genes, the baby did not have HIV.
Mm.
So just think about that from a health perspective.
Yeah,
so if you can do that there.
Right.
Yeah. So if they're able to hone that and they're able to use that application across multiple areas, that's mind blowing to me. That's amazing. But yes, when you look at the other, there's reasons why there are checks and balances in place for sure. So he should have probably done that.
Okay, good to know. Now, when it comes to disruptors, names that have been, I don't know, hanging around the headlines for the last 4 or 5 years, Tesla's Elon Musk, Apple's Tim Cook, Google's Sundar Pichai. But looking ahead to 2019, and I guess for the next few years, as a longtime tech journalist, what are the names that we should be looking out for? Who are going to be the next range of superstars?
I think that the people that come out in front are those consistent different founders, those innovators that show up every day. It's like it can be in any area, because we just spoke to this guy. I don't know if you're familiar with this company, GoGoVan. So I'm not sure if everybody understands. They're looking at the competitors, but you know, they've reached $1 billion valuation. That's very hard to do. And it's a very simple concept, and they're making it cheap and easy, and they came kind of out of nowhere, and it was very interesting. So I'm like, those kind of people are going to pop up, and you know, in 3 years, they're like IPOing, and they're only getting bigger. And then people are like, oh, where did they come from? Like, oh, no, they've been at it for years, you know, and they came out of the humble beginnings, just like the Apples and the Facebooks and the Microsofts. And that's the interesting thing. It's happening in every industry. I don't think there's going to be one standout, because I think also we're so fragmented with the technology developments. I think what you're going to see is IP being kind of developed and then absorbed, or they're going to see, you know, amalgamations more than like a huge leader come out in front, unless, again, I go back to data. So if somebody can work out the correct algorithms to extract certain types of data, because again, like whoever can control, unfortunately, data will be kind
the powerful
of,
one.
Yeah,
he'll
the most power, all in Monty. Yeah. Like seriously, and you think about it, who is it right now? Is it Amazon? You know, that's kind of closing the gap in 360 in every facet. So you know, you need another Amazon maybe. I don't know if that's a good thing.
Actually, since you brought up data again and how data is going to be a big part of 2019, it has already been a big part of 2018. Data aside, what other tech trends have you noticed in this year as we try and wrap up the year and reflect a little?
Yeah, so this year, of course, you know, there was a huge craze with cryptocurrency. But what I think people missed was the actual underlying technology. So if you take away cryptocurrency, it's the blockchain technology. And so that's the irrefutable ledger. So think about, I was just from my own selfish reasons, you look at it from a content maker perspective.
Okay.
You could use that technology to authenticate the content, ensure that you know royalties are going back to the content creator. So that's interesting, because it's very difficult for content creators globally to be able to do that. So it's just it's the applications of blockchain technology and the security and the safety around fintech and the able to transfer money globally. Again, like you think about it in third world countries where the infrastructure and that security isn't there. So that's the kind of technology from this year that I thought was interesting. But again, somebody needs to work out, you know, how to develop the blockchain technology as opposed and take away the noise of this cryptocurrency craze, because obviously we saw what happened there.
Yeah, that one's complicated. It's like, and the way they describe it with blockchain, it's like a form of regulation. But now you're saying a form of regulation that needs some form of regulation as well.
Absolutely. And the only other one that I would mention is, which I love, and it's the nerd in me, is the robotics. So I was very lucky to speak to David Hansen. And so this is this idea, the robots that he has and the technology that he has developed, it's a Sophia, which is everybody is aware of. It's that it's so, I mean, obviously it's not lifelike, but it's close enough that it is a little eerie.
It's quite scary. I've seen photos of that.
Yeah, so that's the scary part, and it's the he's trying to get at that emotion and that you know those nuances with the reactions that people have, and you know she's able to have a conversation with you.
That's incredible.
That's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh gosh. Yeah. The machines are going to take over.
You've met Sophia.
I have not been lucky enough to meet Sophia, but I want to so badly. So it is the coolest thing. But then again, like I want to go to this hotel we found in Japan where there's no people.
There's no staff.
There's no staff. There's dinosaurs and there's robots. And I'm like, that's cool. Like the whole hotel is automated. Like, and so I think that's interesting. And I think people are wanting those customizable experiences and they're okay with suddenly, you know, technology everywhere. But it'll be interesting to see what happens when they get locked in a room and they can't get out, or like the technology starts to kind of like take over.
I'd be screaming for sure. Michael Bancroft is a longtime tech journalist and he is from Bloomberg. Okay, we are a personal finance and business radio station. Would you have any recommendations, Michael, on how companies can best make use of technology for their workforce into the new year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that just from a media perspective, I think what companies don't do very well is use social media to their advantage and also look at their channels, because every company is technically a channel. And they already have a huge audience, which they're not leveraging. And I think that's both internally and externally. And so I think that if they better hone their communication skills through social media platforms, through those communication applications, I think that will go a long way. And also that'll help with transparency and knowing their strategic values and they understand, you know, the alignment and where the company's going. And then externally, I think, again, millennials, they don't care about anything but the company's brand, if you're good, like all those things. Like, and so the only way to do that is to be very open and communicate with them. And they're only looking on social media platforms. So I think that they need to get better at communicating to those audiences and more regularly, because again, it's all well and good to put out like random tweets or, you know, it's like you've got to go to the audience, you've got to understand the platforms. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the other thing. They put out the same message across all platforms, that's useless. So I think they need to get smarter about that as well.
Okay. And finally, to wrap things up, Michael, what are your personal New Year's resolutions for 2019.
I think he wants to visit that crazy hotel in Japan.
I really do. I really, really do. I lived in Japan for 2 years and it was the best time I ever had. It was the most amazing culture and city, but now I just have an excuse to go back to Tokyo. So that would be nice.
Michael Bancroft, producer and co-host of Beyond Innovation on Bloomberg. Thanks a lot for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.